Jaguars Digital. Jaguars. Jaguars Digital. Jaguars Drive Time. Ryan Sexton, John Osier, Ashlyn Sullivan. Jaguars Drive Time starts right now.
Happy Friday. 3 days till Christmas. Ryan Sexton along with John Osier and the head coach, Doug Marrone, for Jags Drive Time. And you can kind of see a little glimmer of the sun. It's been a beautiful week here in Jacksonville. An amazingly good week to practice outside.
It was. It was a good week for us. And, one of the good things is obviously we're going out to San Francisco and, looking at, what you see on tape and, the wind factor, comes into play a little bit. And we were able to get, practice with the wind and against the wind, which always helps you when you're trying to prepare to go out to a West Coast game.
This time of year, you always got asked about Christmas, distractions, that whole thing. It's always a question. But you got the feeling listening to you this week, you're not concerned about that.
No,
with this team.
It's Christmas this week.
You got to know that everybody wants to know right now. Yeah. How does an NFL head coach with a playoff team find time for Christmas? How do you find time to get anything done?
I don't know. I wish you could talk to my wife about that because I'm sure she's going to find some time somewhere for me to put some gifts together or things like that for the kids. Which is
Monday is Christmas, incidentally. If
you're just in case,
yeah, yeah, exactly. It's one thing. Like in this league, I think the families do a great job of knowing that. Obviously that you're not around for Thanksgiving, you're not around for Christmas, because obviously you're working and it's a high pressure time of year. Whether. You're doing well or if you're not doing well,
right.
There's a lot going on. And, we as coaches, it's a little bit easier for us because we'll just come in and just go right to work. We have the schedule, but the stress is really put on the family, that you're not around. But I think, that's the one thing I've always admired about coaches' wives, how they're able to keep everything going from a family standpoint, keep everything flowing, trying to make things as good as they can for their families during this time. And it's just, I'm not here complaining or anything. I'm just trying to give credit to them. They do a great job because, they let us do, what we want to do, and that's coach football.
Well, not to look ahead, but on Monday you basically got a couple hours, and then you're back to work Monday night, right?
Yeah, I mean, it's just part of it. So everyone is.
Sure.
You have teams playing on Christmas too, which is always tough. And, but it's the same thing. It's we know. I always say the same when I look at things and you go, people go, I can't believe you have to do this. Can't believe we chosen this. So I don't sit back and go, gosh, they should change this or do this or give us more. No, it is what it is, and we know what we signed up for, and we just got to be ready to do it and make sure our team's prepared.
Well, one thing, and I'm sure you felt this, is the fans are really enjoying this at this time of year. For fans at Christmas time in particular. The gift of a playoff team sure seems like it makes it that much more fun.
Well, I think it goes back to the beginning of the year, and we had that we had some event that we had the team at. This was during the preseason, and I remember, you get the season ticket holders, they're coming together, and it's a nice event, and the players get split up and go to different tables, and having lived here for 2 years prior to, you can see that, people want to be proud, of their team. And there's a lot going on. The stadium renovations were going on and doing a lot of stuff for our fans, for the experience. And, so you have a business side of the building that's doing everything they possibly can, for the fans. You have the fans that are sticking with you, through all the tough times. And, I remember standing up there and said, look, we've got to do our part now as coaches and players and go out and win football games. And when you do that, then everything can come together. And, I don't take it for granted. I know that, we have to keep getting better. We have to keep pushing. We have to keep doing those things. And the greatest joy for me is not the joy for myself. It's for the coaches, the players, the people in the building, and obviously for the fans that we don't have to be hiding that logo, when we're at the cooler, or when we're traveling through an airport, or things like that, we have the ability to say, hey, you know what? We're Jacksonville Jaguar fans, and we're proud of our football team.
You mentioned a couple times, and you said it again this week, about this being a different team. And it was when you were asked about motivation this week, and you said you'd be shocked if this team changed. You've touched on that a few times, but what is it along those lines that you like about this team so much?
You know, I think, you know, I told the team early in the year, and I've said this many times, I said, you know, I like this football team. You know, this team can be, you know, a special group of guys. And that's before we even took the field, you know, in Houston mm-hmm. for game one. And I think what I was looking at is it's very difficult. You know, obviously we've gone out and picked up some free agents in the off season. And so you look at, you know, Calais, you look at Barry Church, you look at A.J. Boye, you know, saying, so we picked up those three players. Pretty much on offense, we're doing it with draft picks. You know, obviously you have Leonard, you have Didi, you have Cam. And really that's really the only changes. And then Mickens has stepped up and Cole has stepped up. You know, we know all that. But it's very hard for a coach when you bring in those free agents to try to get those free agents to come in and be part of the team. It takes time, and that's not something that you can create as a head coach. But I thought those players, those three players came in and did an outstanding job of working their way and being part of the team and with their communication. And I also will give credit to the rookies that came in and took a role in going. So when I started to see that, I knew that it was speeded up. You know what I'm saying? So I felt like, hey, listen, these guys genuinely, obviously we know they respect each other, but they genuinely like each other and they play for each other. And that's something that, as a coach, that's very difficult to create that type of environment.
It's rare.
It's incredible.
Yes,
right.
yes.
Well, you
see
in the locker room. I mean, yesterday we're talking to Telvin Smith, and here comes Jalen wanting to get in with his iPhone and be a part of that. And then Leonard comes over, and they enjoy each other. And you just don't see that very much.
You don't. A lot of times you see people, you know, it's a job. You come in, you do your job, you leave the building, and that's it.
Right.
You know, but, you know, this team seems to be, you know, a lot closer. You know, it's a close family type of atmosphere, and not to say that you're not going to have some problems, you know, but like I tell the players, if there are any problems, we settle it amongst ourselves and it's gone and you just move on. There's no, you know, looking back and holding grudges or things like that, whether it's coach, player, coaches, players, you know, it's been great.
Traveling out west, I know you've been asked about this, going on Saturday. Mm. Some teams go on Friday. What do you stress to your players, coach, when you make a long trip to the West Coast like that? Is it physical? Is it mental? Is it both?
Well, you know, I think, you know, it's the same thing we talk to our players about, even with the home games. You know, there's challenges whether you're at home or whether you're on the road or whether you're traveling. I think, you know, one of the things is that you have to start getting ready from a standpoint of nutrition, rest, you know, taking care of your body early in the week. You know, you can't say at the end of the week, okay, all right, now I'm going to get some rest. You just can't do that. And so, you know, it's always an emphasis for us with our players, you know, when we get them on Wednesday and Thursday and Friday, to keep talking about them, get off your feet, you know, make sure you stay hydrated, things of that nature. So, you know, when people start throwing up stats on our football team, like you said, when we've gone the West Coast, when we've done this, when we've done that, really all year we've been, I don't want to say battling that, because we're not battling what's gone on in the past.
Right.
We're trying to create what we are in 2017. So, you know, you can look at, you know, where we are from a standpoint of wins, where we are from a standpoint of the division, where we are from a standpoint of conference, where we are from a standpoint. So it's just one of those things that we just keep checking off the list that no one's going to be able to say about the 2017 team, and use it for a little bit of motivation. But at the same time, the players understand that, like, that's not us. You know, that's not who we are, the 2017 team. That's, you know, that was whatever teams went out to the West Coast and did that, that's them. Now, do we have to do things better, and we always working, you know, trying to make sure our players are in great position and that we're ready to perform on Sunday? Absolutely. I put more pressure on myself to do all the right things for them so that when they get up Sunday, they're ready to perform.
John is going to make Christmas cookies tonight.
Can't wait.
If he was going to make your favorite, which ones would they be?
I'm focused on San Francisco. I'm not worried about cookies. I'm not worried about present. I'm really not. This is, you know, for us, we got, you know, it's going to be a challenge for us. You know, obviously, you know, people look at it. Anytime you're on a road, it's very difficult, you know, to win. And I think that, you know, it's a challenge for us to go out there. Obviously, we know that we control it. We know if we win this game, we win the division, which is an important part of what we tried to get accomplished, you know, one of our goals in the beginning. So for me, if I know me, I can't function if I start thinking about something else that's down the road or tonight or tomorrow or next week. You know, right now I'm focused on getting this team ready. It's a big practice day today. It's red zone. You know, we've been doing a nice job on offense, touchdown percentage wise. We've been doing an outstanding job on defense in the red zone. So, you know, today we're focused on that and doing the best job we can to prepare ourselves for Sunday.
Maybe you can bring him a cookie.
Well, I just, you know.
If you're saying
I tried. I couldn't yeah. I couldn't get there, but that's
well,
okay.
So like if I come in there and there's like a cookie on my desk, you know, obviously anyone that's ever seen me, you know, or looked at me, no, I don't turn food down.
that's what I figured.
I mean, it's
peanut butter blossom or something. That
I mean,
make
a
there.
Cookie is.
I mean, yeah. I mean,
there you go, John. There's, in other words, you now have to figure it out.
I'll figure it out.
Yeah.
Happy Friday, Coach.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
And we'll see you before then. But Merry Christmas.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate that, and appreciate Happy Holidays to all our people, listeners, and the people out there. And
you got it.
You know, hopefully we can, you know, give them a gift on Sunday.
You betcha. Looking forward to Sunday in San Francisco. We're
Thanks,
back
Todd.
In 60 seconds with more Jags Drive Time. Jags Wired is a brand new show that brings you closer to the field than anywhere else.
Let's go!
We mic up the players.
We're giving it out wholesale today, baby.
Giving you exclusive access to what's happening on the sideline.
Let's set this tempo.
And on the field.
You can't block me.
We break down every aspect of Sunday's game, taking you inside the film room and the locker room.
And we beat a good football team.
Jags Wired airs Wednesday nights at 7:30 on Fox 30 and on Jaguars.com and the Jaguars apps. Jags Wired. Don't miss it.
Jags fans, experience EverBank Field in an entirely new way. Visit Jaguars.com/tours and book a fully guided behind-the-scenes stadium visit. Hear stories of great plays by Jaguars legends. Get up close and personal with the famous video boards. And see why the Travel Channel named EverBank Field as one of the 15 bucket list destinations for any football fan. Discounts available for children, first responders, and military. Visit Jaguars.com/tours for tickets and complete details. See you at the bank. Welcome back to Jags Drive Time on this Friday morning. Here with you with big thing number one, and it is a big one, an AFC South division title. The Jags have never won an AFC South division title. Back when the Jags were in the AFC Central, they won in 1998 and 1999. That's how long it has been. With a win, you're AFC South division champions and guarantee a home playoff win for the first time in 18 years. Guys, that's a long time.
It is. And you know, it's rare. Generally, we talk about, and we have talked about this team as having to win the division to guarantee that spot, mm-hmm. right? Because you looked at the AFC in general and saw how strong it was, and you thought, well, the South isn't, so you better win the division title if you want to get that. Well, they've locked up a playoff spot without having won the division title, which tells you just how remarkable this year has been.
And I'd show you how hard it is. We've always talked about, well, it's been since 1999 since they won one. They had two good seasons, 05 and 07.
You bet.
11 wins, 12 wins.
They shot in 10, too.
Sometimes, you know, you have great seasons where the other team in the division happens to go 13-3. Point being, it's hard, and these chances don't come along all the time. It's been remarkable, and there are a lot of carrots left out there. But I didn't realize until I started covering the league, when I was a fan sort of watching it, to me, as long as my team got in, I was fine with it.
Right.
Let's get in. Let's go. Teams win the Super Bowl all the time. But for players and coaches, there is something attached to winning that division title because of the preparation they put in the offseason, because they play those teams twice a year. There's personal stuff like trash cans that happen with division rivalries. So there is something to be said about getting those division title T-shirts, those division title hats, that's beyond just making the playoff. And sometimes teams would rather win the division 11-5 than make a wild card at 12-4 because there's something about that division title.
You know, they used to. They won 98-99, and back before they had the Bud Zone and that south end zone built up for the Super Bowl, they used to have flags out there. They had a division title flag in 98 and in 99. And there's something about hanging a flag.
Absolutely.
Not everybody gets to – one team is taking home the Lombardi Trophy. Two teams are taking home the Lamar Hunt trophies for the AFC and who's the NFC?
I'm drawing a blank.
I draw a blank, too. But, you know, those two, you know, conference championship trophies. But there's a couple of teams that can hang a flag that says, hey, we've got something done. I'd like to see them bring the flags back, to be honest with you. You know, I mean, you don't have many of them, but when you get them, let's hang them up.
No doubt.
Let people know we're about the flag, right? We're about the trophy, but you're not going to win that every year. But we want that flag every year.
And they matter. I mean, the division title goes down on a lot more historic lists than making the wild card.
Ashlyn, we're back to you for big thing number two.
Big thing number two. This week, Bortles versus Garoppolo. Both are such hyped-up quarterbacks in December. Jimmy G a little bit more because he's bringing wins to San Francisco that haven't been there before, but a disciple of Tom Brady, really hyped up. But you got to make the argument that Blake is the same way, especially this month.
Well, I think Doug made it. You know, Doug talked this week, I think it was Monday or Wednesday, about Garoppolo being the hottest quarterback, the greatest quarterback in the league right now, which is what coaches say. Blake's numbers dwarf Jimmy Garoppolo's right now. So let's not lose sight of the fact of how well Blake Bortles is playing. Blake Bortles right now should be, I think he is, the better quarterback in this game. I think he gives them an edge, which, again, sounds funny because 6 weeks ago we weren't checking the box every week with Blake Bortles as the advantage.
You know, it's interesting. When you ask some of the defensive players in the locker room this week about Jimmy Garoppolo, they immediately turned it on, well, what about our guy?
Right.
Immediately. And that stood out to me. You know, we were talking about how close this team is.
Sure.
Those players, especially on defense, they legitimately have his back.
They believed in Blake Bortles long before anybody else believed in Blake Bortles. I think that's significant. There was also a tone this week of Deshaun Gibson said it and a couple other players said it of, hey, Jimmy's got some talent. He looks good, but he hasn't faced anything like us.
The George Halas Trophy, by the way. The NFC gets the George Halas Trophy.
As well they should.
Absolutely. One of the founders of the National Football League and the Lamar Hunt Trophy, the late Lamar Hunt, who took the Dallas Texans from the AFL to Kansas City, became the Chiefs, the founder of the AFL, and helped bring the merger about. There you go. There's a little history lesson for you, Ashlyn, just in case you weren't aware of Lamar Hunt.
She has no idea who those people are, Brian.
No
George Halas?
I'm sorry. But I'll look it up and I'll get a history lesson.
Well, there's a book you have to read called Papa Bear.
I don't know.
You want to understand the National Football League? You got to read Papa Bear.
All right. I'll look it up. All right. Big thing number two, the difficulty of winning out West. We talked about it with Coach Marone. The Jags are 0-7 and have not won out West since 2005. He said it himself. He hopes he can break that record and bring home a win on Sunday.
You know, and it is tough to go all the way out there.
Mm-hmm.
And it's tough for them to come here. But it happens all the time. What I really think is interesting is the concept of winning out, right? So you're playing on the West Coast, and the Titans are playing the Rams. You could have the division title wrapped up before you even take the field, right? Now, the Patriots are playing the Bills at home, and the Steelers are playing in Houston against a bad Texans team on Christmas night. I guess what I'm wondering is there a scenario in which you start resting guys? Not this week, right? Not this week, but are you going to play the odds and say, well, maybe the Browns beat the Steelers in the final Sunday or the Jets go into New England and win? At what point does winning out matter more than resting guys?
I think the only scenario that you rest guys is if, and I know there's scenarios that exist this week, where you clinch the 3 seed, meaning the 4th seed can't come get you, and the 1 and 2 are gone, which would mean losing this week and still being the 3 seed.
But the 1 and 2 won't be gone until, I mean,
if they lose this week, it would be. If the Jaguars lose this week,
and I see what you mean.
1 and 2 win, then the gap's too wide to close.
Right,
it's a 2-game gap now.
So then rest them next week.
So then that could come into play.
Of course,
other than that, I don't think you do because this is the NFL. There are weird outcomes. Cleveland against Pittsburgh in the last week shouldn't happen, but and you probably couldn't even say stranger things happen because that'd be strange, but it can happen. The Jets and the Patriots, it's a rivalry division game.
So you're playing to win out no matter what.
I think you are, and I think particularly on Sunday you are, because even if the Titans win in the afternoon, or even if the Titans lose in the afternoon, I'm sorry, there's nothing about these guys in the locker room that strikes me that they want to put on the shirt and hat
right
after a loss.
No, I totally get that. They're playing to win this week,
right,
to enjoy the ride home, to celebrate Christmas with an 11th win. I'm just asking if there are any scenarios, and this is weird this year because the Jaguars are so on the heels of both teams. The Steelers
right.
and the Patriots could both lose their stature, their standing, if they lose.
Yeah.
So you have them playing to the end.
If the Jaguars win Sunday, I don't think they rest going into the finale. I think there are scenarios during the finale, if everybody's playing at 1 o'clock, that you would look at the scoreboard in the second half and say, okay, Pittsburgh's up by 21 on the Browns. The Patriots are up by 21. This game's going nowhere for us. Leonard took a hit in the first quarter. I don't like the way he's limping toward the line of scrimmage. Let's get him out.
Right.
I think you could see if-then scenarios like that. I don't see a situation where there's 13 guys on the sidelines with baseball hats at opening kickoff.
Is anybody else having a deja vu moment here? Can you believe we're talking about resting scenarios going into week 16?
I thought you were talking about Christmas cookies.
Hey, look.
Hungry?
The thought of you making Christmas cookies.
With a little Santa hat?
No, I was thinking about a chef's hat. But okay. Whatever. I mean, that boggles my mind as it is. But just, we were talking
you
about.
You got to regroup a little bit.
I do have to regroup. I need 60 seconds to regroup. It's just a little more than I can handle right now. But we're talking about resting scenarios for the Jaguars, who haven't been in the playoffs for 10 years. That's how special this year has been for the Jags. We're back in 60 seconds on Jags Drive Time. Enjoy the music until then.
Jags fans, experience EverBank Field in an entirely new way. Visit jaguars.com/tours and book a fully guided behind-the-scenes stadium visit. Hear stories of great plays by Jaguars legends. Get up close and personal with the famous video boards. And see why the Travel Channel named EverBank Field as one of the 15 bucket list destinations for any football fan. Discounts available for children, first responders, and military. Visit jaguars.com/tours for tickets and complete details. See you at the bank.
Jags Wired is a brand new show that brings you closer to the field than anywhere else.
Let's go!
We mic up the players.
We're giving it out wholesale today, baby.
Giving you exclusive access to what's happening on the sideline.
Let's set this tempo.
And on the field.
You can't grab me.
We break down every aspect of Sunday's game, taking you inside the film room and the locker room.
And we beat a good football team.
Jags Wired airs Wednesday nights at 7:30 on Fox 30 and on Jaguars.com and the Jaguars apps. Jags Wired. Don't miss it.
Welcome back to Jags Drive Time. Here with you with an Ozone Snapshot question from too many Jags fans. He says he's from Humbletown. Dear Blake, please forgive us for the years of doubting your abilities, and please continue proving us wrong. Completely wrong, there is. And proving Caldwell right.
Yeah, I mean, that's the storyline for December. After clinching, after the playoff seeds, we knew the defense was playing very, very well. Blake Bortles' ascension, I won't say it's complete, because if things go squirrely here in the last couple of weeks, then I was going to talk about different things. But, boy, doesn't it feel right now like, I don't know if he's going to reach, all pro level, Brian, but it sure feels like he has solidified his spot here, is showing you why he was drafted,
right,
and showing signs of maybe what he could be. I'm not sure he's reached the ceiling yet.
Well, he's played consistent, which we've always said, where's the consistency? The thing I go back to is the throws that he makes. For the last couple of years, mm-hmm. I have complained about watching receivers stop to catch the ball, right? And you've got guys who can really run, Marquise Lee. I mean, now you've got Keelan Cole and Dede Westbrook that do that as well. But it was always as if a guy had to stop and restart. Well, I mean, this year he is putting the ball where they athletically have to go reach it and get it. In fact, Keelan Cole missed a couple of these earlier in the season. I know he missed one for sure in Arizona, and there was one here against the Chargers that he missed.
Against the Chargers. Because skim misses, I call them. They're right off the fingertips.
Yeah, right.
They ought to be there.
He misjudged him. And that's because Blake all of a sudden was putting the ball in that spot where they could accelerate and keep accelerating through the ball and towards the end zone. It's been remarkable.
He's been a remarkably deep passer at times this year.
It has been.
And think about the fact that we just said that.
Yeah. I mean, that to me, that is the story, that he is not just throwing the ball accurately. He is putting it in a spot where not only can they just catch it, but they can keep running. And he's playing to the strengths of the receivers, and he's doing it play after play after play. I don't see that going away.
And with all the focus on the – and the other thing I don't see going away, even before the numbers started piling up, you were hearing what a good job he was doing managing the running game, his understanding of the offense. Nate Hackett said it down the hall yesterday. He's the one guy they've been able to rely on offense this year.
Yeah.
Bohannon has started all games. Cam Robinson has started all games, and one other person started all games. I'm drawing – or him. So it's
Blake.
He's the one constant in this, and a bunch of rookies playing around him. Don't overlook the fact that he's the one constant on offense in a 10-4 season. You would have never said that in August.
All right, time for He Will, He Won't, He Might, and we'll start with you, Ashley. What you got for us?
All right, my He Will, He Won't, He Might is what Coach Marone was just talking about, Jadon Mickens. He will continue to make an impact on this team. I think this week he gets more plays. I think his teammates and especially Coach Marone have confidence that he will make those plays. Calais Campbell on the sidelines last week said, "Introduce yourself to the world," and I think he did exactly that. And he won't, I don't think he's ever going to be that number one guy. And I think he's okay with that. He likes that role of being the underdog and proving people wrong. And he might be a fan favorite on this team. That story of him sleeping in his car during training camp, that spread national news. I think everyone in America is rooting for him.
Well, I slept in my car last night. I'm not sure why that's really such
well,
a deal.
Yeah, that's
I
a Sherry Major,
story
though.
When he
yeah,
does
right.
it. But, I'm going to go with Telvin Smith.
Right.
He will be pretty motivated this week, Brian. I mean, I was a little surprised this week. So much emphasis on Unique, and Unique should have been in the Pro Bowl. Not quite as much on Telvin Smith, who, you know, I think has the argument for being the defensive MVP. I mean, and certainly the spiritual leader of this defense. He won't, I don't think, perhaps ever get the recognition he quite deserves because of playing the spot that he does. As an outside linebacker, we go over and over this. It's a tough Pro Bowl get because of the position, because of the sacks thing with the other outside linebackers. So unfortunately for him, I don't know if that league-wide December respect is ever going to come. But my guess is when the players vote on the top 100 next year, that he's pretty high up in that. So it'll probably come there. And don't you just have the feeling in terms of he might that – there's a good chance we're standing around his locker on Sunday as the big play.
Oh, yeah, with the hat on and the shirt.
And having made one of the game-turning plays. Yeah. It just feels like a Telvin Smith weekend to me.
And I'll go with Blake Bortles, and I say he will out-duel Jimmy Garoppolo. He's playing his best football. His confidence is sky high, and you can just see the confidence the rest of this team has in him, and that means something to him. He will not melt when a turnover happens. Adversity strikes. And it has not the last 3 weeks. First time in his career that he's had three straight games without a turnover. Whether that changes or not, I don't know. But I don't believe that he will melt if that happens. I think you'll see him return to the form that we've seen. And I'll say he might be the guy around whom this locker room completely rallies. When you talk to guys this week, whether it was Telvin or Tashaun or Malik or any of the young receivers, they all went back to Blake. He's not the limelight guy. He doesn't care about that. He's understated in that sense. But you can tell that his teammates are pointing to him. Malik said something on the bench last week about time to give five his due. And absolutely, he might be the guy around whom they rally. So that will do it for another edition of Jags Drive Time here on TuneIn Radio. Thanks to Joe Fortunato for toughing it out with us on a busy Friday morning. For John Osier and Ashlyn Sullivan and Pat Cavanaugh, we all say Merry Christmas. We'll be with you on Sunday. Of course, you can hear the radio broadcast with the JP and the crew on Sunday morning. John will be sprinkled in there. We'll be on the website. We'll have post game. Just come to us on Christmas Eve. It's kind of a Santa thing. We're bringing it to you. Yeah. So here we go. Good night, everybody. We'll be right back.